Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're going to continue on with our series, Anything is Possible. Last week we heard from Rachel Mawson on An Extraordinary Life is Possible. If you haven't watched it, make sure you do catch up this week. It was an awesome message. Our series verse comes from Matthew 19:26. It says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things in 2021, all things in your business, all things in your life are possible. 2021, with God, all things. Now, here's the key to it. Here's the key. It says, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't say, in your own strength, it's possible. It doesn't say, you know, with the wrong people, it's possible. It says, with God, all things are possible. With God in 2021, you will make it. With God in 2021, you will see your family again. With God in 2021, you will hug your family again. In fact, we're going to have Come Back for a Cuddle Sunday. Okay, so once we're allowed, we're going to call it Come Back for a Cuddle Sunday. We're just going to come to church. You know, mingle moment, it's going to be the main event that Sunday. Everyone's just going to mingle for 45 minutes and we're going to bless you and you're going to go home. Okay, so we're going to believe because with God, all things are possible. It doesn't say with a vaccine, all things are possible. It says with God, all things are possible. And so today, my challenge is that the Word of God encourages you, but it doesn't just encourages you, it challenges you. So I pray the Word of God, it brings encouragement to your spirit, to your soul, but I also pray that it challenges you. So come on, drop some comments in the chat. If you've got any questions, any of my theology you're not enjoying, you can put it in the chat and one of the team will sort that out for me. Fantastic. Well, we're not going to waste this lockdown. I said to our staff this week, we're not going to waste this lockdown. We might not ever get another one. And so don't waste the next few days, weeks you have with your family and the way that life is right now. And we're not going to waste this. We're going to love our church like never before. We're going to love our city like never before. This week, talk about a miracle this week. We have now served 1.5 million meals through the Soul Foundation into the communities in most need in our city. Come on, I think we can do better than that. I think that's absolutely incredible. So thank you to every single one of the staff, the team, the dream teamers who come in and pick up food, drive food, unpack food, pack up the food, deliver the food, whatever part of the role you play, you know. But that's not 1.5 million. That's 1.5 times one. Every single person. Every single person represents a family in need, a community. And so we really on. And so, hey, with God, all things are possible. Who'd have thought that 12 months ago we'd be announcing that we'd served 1.5 million meals to people in our county? I'll tell you why. With God, all things are possible. And we're making plans for 2021. We've got Vision Sunday. Someone said to me the other day, you're still having Vision Sunday for 2021? Absolutely. I've got more vision for this year than I did for the previous 6 years of leading Soul Church for 2021. We're believing. Why? Because all things are possible. Write it in the chat. Put it on your Twitter. With God, all things are possible. So write it in your diary. Sunday, February the 14th is Vision Sunday. And we're going to cast fresh vision into our church. And so I believe that anything is possible, 2021, even in lockdown. Now, we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah. Come on, get ready for the... Now, the children of Israel in the book of Exodus were also in a lockdown. Not a one-year lockdown, or even a two-year lockdown, a 400-year lockdown. Five generations of lockdown. Who's glad we're not in a 400-year lockdown and we're in year one? Okay, so these guys had it bad. Now, they weren't allowed to travel either. They were oppressed and tortured. Men, women, and children were forced into labor camps. There was no furlough schemes. There was no national health service. All it was just sheer pain and brokenness that they faced. And God saw their torment. He saw the stress that they were in. He says, I'm going to show up with my power and my might into your situation. God identifies a Midian man. In fact, he was a shepherd. You know his name. His name was Moses. And he was identified in modern day Saudi Arabia. And he says, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to set free 2 million men, women, and children from slavery under the Egyptians, under Pharaoh. And we're going to read now from Exodus chapter 3 in the Message version. This is the account of how God appears to Moses and he breaks the news of his assignment. He says this, God called to him from out of a burning bush. Moses, Moses. He said, yes, I'm right here. God said, don't come any closer. 2 meter rule thing. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. See, they wore face masks back then. He was afraid to look at God. God said, I've taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard the cries of deliverance from the slave masters. I know all about their pain. You know, God knows all about our pain. And now I've come to help them. God is on the way to help us. Pry them loose from the grip of Egypt. Get them out of the country and bring them into a good land, a wide open space, a land lush with milk and honey. Not on the Daniel fast. The Israelite cry for help has come to me. And I've seen for myself how cruelly they've been treated by the Egyptians. And it's time for you, Moses, to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. And we're going to just zoom in on verse 11. Moses answered God and said, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God responded to his but. He said, I'll be with you. And this will be the proof that I am the one who sent you. God chooses a shepherd in a different country to take the Israelites who are in lockdown out of Egypt to the promised land. Now, Egypt in this story for us today represents our lockdown. And like the Jewish people, many of you are feeling like you cannot do another week. Some of you single parents, you're doing so amazing, by the way. Not just parenting, but teaching and educating your children at home. And Moses had to make three choices in that moment. And these three choices are the same three choices that we face today as we look ahead to another week in lockdown. Because we got to get ourselves ready for the promised land. Because what we're sitting in right now is Egypt. This is not the promised land. This is not the promises of God being fulfilled in our life. The promised land is the church filled. The promised land is our new facility. The promised land is your business thriving. God has promises for you and your family. So do not settle in Egypt when he has promised you a miracle. Moses goes back at God and he says that word, but why me? Three thoughts quickly that Moses had and three choices we've got to have. Number one is this, we've got to cut the but. We've got to cut the but. God calls Moses and his first word back at God was but. He makes excuses. Moses was following his butt. Now remember, Moses had a past. Let's just remind ourselves of who Moses was. Moses was a murderer. Moses had a stutter. Moses felt inadequate to lead people. Now here's what you need to write down. It's really hard to be led by your butt. God never created you to be led with your butt. He created you to be led with your vision of your eyes. It's hard to move forward when you're living or sitting on your butt. But John, I'm not good enough. Nor was Moses. But John, we're in lockdown. But John, I'm not smart enough. But John, you don't know what happened to me. But John, you don't know what happened in my school. My parents didn't give me the start in life that I deserve. Let me tell you, I meet so many people and they live with their butts. They live their life with their butts. They lead with their butts. I remember God called Chantal and I back to the UK. I remember the conversation that I had with God, and it was a similar one to Moses. It began with but. But God, it's warm in South Africa. It's really, really nice. It's been a great place to raise a family in the mountains. But God, we have great positions in church. And then God called us back to Norwich. Norwich and Cape Town are very different settings. Especially right now when you look at everyone in the Southern Hemisphere having fun in the sun. He said, I want you to go back to Norwich. I don't just want you to go back to Norwich. I want you to go back to the church that you grew up in. I said, but God, I played a lot of pranks on people in that church. I'm not sure they're ever going to take me seriously. Some of them don't. Thanks for sticking around. And those who left, well done. That was probably a good choice. But if we're gonna step into our God-given future, if we're gonna move into another week, we're gonna have to get over our butts. Breakthrough starts where your butt ends. Some of you have been living with your butts for far too long. Oh, I know God will take care of me, but. You know, as soon as you say the word but after a faith statement, you just disregard everything you've just said. I know lockdown will end, John, but faith requires you to let go of your but. Be careful the context you put out on social media, please. You got to tell the devil, keep your butts away from me. Butt out of it. You know, we all do it, don't we? People ring Chantal and I, good-hearted people. Oh, John and Chantal, I just love Soul Church, and then I'll wait for it. But it's just not the same online. Look, it's not the same online. It's not the same speaking to a camera. But it is a lifeline. And for months I made excuses. But actually, if this is church right now, we've just got to get over our butts. You just got to get over it. If you can watch 12 hours of a box set online, you can watch an hour and 30 minutes online, which is going to bring hope and strength into your life. Oh, John, we just love church, but we're not getting fed anymore. Someone said that recently. Maybe it's you're not getting fed. Maybe it's you just don't know how to eat. Maybe we've got to take personal responsibility in this season. My spiritual growth is not dictated to by what comes off this platform. My spiritual growth is dictated by my personal responsibility. You've got to let go of your butt and allow God to move in your heart. Oh, John, I would serve in church. But I just can't seem to find the right team. You're never going to find the right team until you take responsibility. It's called an excuse. Reality is we've got to cut the butt. Moses had to cut the butt. If you've just walked into this message halfway, it might sound a little bit, there is some context, just rewind. You know, responsibility. The word responsibility simply means the ability to respond. The ability to respond. You know, animals don't have this ability. They are led by their instinct. They are led by their feelings. But we are created in the image of God. We don't have to be led by our butt. We don't have to be led by our feelings. God has given us the ability to rise above our feelings, rise above our excuses, rise above our butts. And for Moses, that looked like moving 2 million people from a foreign country to the promised land, moving them across a desert without sanitation, without running water, without all the buts that you can think of. And if Moses had followed his butt, 2 million people would have been left in slavery. Wonder what will happen in your business if you continue to follow your butt. Wonder what would happen in our church if I followed the butts. Wonder what area of your life and my life I've made excuses for. I'm sorry, I said this was going to be encouraging and challenging. This will be the challenging part. We'll get to the encouraging part. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's an old mindset. Maybe it's the way you lead. Oh, this is just the way I lead. This is just the way I am. People need to adapt to me. Maybe you need to adapt to them. You know, I made a decision in 2021 to cut the butt. To take responsibilities every time I hear myself saying, but that's an error of God that God wants to change in my life. I cannot control what is happening around me, but I can take control of my excuses. I can take control of my attitude. I can take control of my spirit. Pastor Brian Houston says, my spirit is my responsibility. You are responsible for your spirit. You are responsible to be responsible. You've got to cut the butt. By the way, I thought that would be a great title for the message today. So the message is called Cut the Butt. Number two, the second choice we've got to make this week in lockdown, we've got to cut the butt. Number two is we've got to chain the truth. Chain the truth. Moses froze back at God in the next chapter, excuse after excuse. God keeps coming back to Moses with the same promise, with the same truth. He says this. It's the same truth that applies to you today in your work. Same truth today in your home. He says this, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Four words, I'll be with you. How easy it is to forget that God is with you in this season. Moses' issue was he felt inadequate. He had a past. He had a stutter. He was unqualified. In fact, the list why God chose Moses was endless. I'll be honest, for Chantel and I leading the church for this pandemic, if I'm honest, I've had the same feelings. You feel unqualified. They didn't do the pandemic semester at Bible school. This is what you need to do, A through Z, if there's a pandemic. No, we're kind of figuring it out. And would we do some things different if we got to do it again? And hopefully we want 100%. But like Moses, you can so easily allow fear and worry and inadequacy to control you and control your emotions in this season. I think our staff and our team, I think our church have done amazing the way we are, the way we've come through this so strong. But every time I feel the fear come upon me, and every time I think, oh my goodness, what is the right decision here? Sometimes in your work, do you ever feel like you've just got two bad decisions? You've got to make the best bad one. We've got to chain the truth of God's word around our lives. I've got this little illustration because this book, the Bible, in this season, it literally needs to be chained around your heart. Chained to your life. I'll be with you. The promises of God is God will be with you. To all of our young adults, and I know some of you, you're away from family, and some of you are kind of doing life remotely from university, God is with you. To our students who are locked down and getting educated from home, God is with you. He is with you, Dad. He is with you, Mum. You are super mum at home. He is with you in the hospital. He is with you on that night shift in the North Canary. He is with you. You've got to chain the word of God to your heart. You've got to cut the butt, but you've got to chain the truth. And our scared world, it needs a fearless, faith-filled people, followers of Jesus at this time. We need the word of God chained to our hearts. I made a decision in 2021. Every time I have a microphone, every time I stand on a platform, I'm going to encourage you to read your Bible. I don't care if it's a broken record. I'm going to keep doing it until people realize that this is the only way to live your life. Why? Three reasons why you got to chain the truth. Number one is this: it's the only way I know to build my faith. I don't know any other way. Well, someone comes along and they say nice things. That's a really positive thing. That's called encouragement. There's a difference between encouragement and faith building. The word of God, it builds your faith. How do you know your faith is being built? Because you got less fear. Faith always replaces fear in your life. The only way to remove fear from your life is to chain the truth across your heart. The media are hell-bent on driving fear into the core of our being right now. You know, some of us need some information hygiene sessions. We need to cleanse the amount of information we are receiving into our hearts. We are being conditioned. Please hear me, hear me. We are being conditioned to expect the worst. But God's word conditions us to expect the best. Why do I read my Bible? Number one, it's the only thing which builds my faith. Number two, the more I read my Bible, the more I love the author. Oh, I just love the author of the Bible. You can't fall in love with someone you don't know. For anyone who's dating someone in someone else that you've never met, you got to get to know them. And the more about Jesus I read, the more I love him. I love his leadership style. I love his kindness. I love his forgiving spirit. I love the way he never took sides on the left or the right. He wasn't ever anti or pro. He just loved people. He listened to people. I love Jesus, and the more I love Jesus, because I love his word. If you've fallen out of love with Jesus, you've probably fallen out of love with your Bible. I want to encourage you, dust it off the shelf, chain it around your neck, and begin to fall in love with the author. Third thing, why I love my Bible is this: I discover wisdom for every day. Wisdom for every day. This week, I had a situation that as a church we were facing. I said, God, I just don't know the right way to go. I just do not know the right decision to make. I remember opening my Bible and it was right in front of me. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaking, it was like God was speaking directly to me. Wow. God's promises are for you. But are they on your shelf or are they chained around your neck? I want to encourage you today. I pray that you don't feel condemned if you haven't read your Bible lately. I just pray you feel hungry. Pray you feel hungry to pick it up this afternoon. Pick it up tonight when the kids are down and just begin to read. Katie Cooper spoke so honestly and brilliantly at Wellbeing Wednesday this week. Wasn't that a great story from being in a wheelchair to running a marathon? Amazing. One of the things I picked up in that interview was her love for the Bible. As she made a daily decision to read those promises over her life. We've got to be careful that we're not basing our hope right now on a man-made solution rather than a God-given promise. The vaccine is never a promise, it's a solution. And here's the thing, solutions can let you down. But the promises of God, they will never, ever let you down. I encourage you, keep the promises of God alive in your home. In this lockdown season, keep chaining the word of God into your home. I was invited a few weeks ago to an interview conversation with Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. And he was asked this question. He said, what tip can you give in lockdown, in this pandemic, to help us through? And he said, let me give you one really simple, quick one. He said, leave your Bible open beside your bed. I thought, wow. I have my Bible in my office. That's where my study. That's where I do my... He said, in this season, open it beside your bed. So it's laying beside your heart. And he said, when it's open, it's an invitation. And he said, the first thing to do in the morning is just glance down at it. The last thing to do at night is just glance. I want to encourage our church. find a Bible and open it and leave it open in this pandemic. Leave it open beside your children's beds. Leave it open. Leave that open invitation of God's word in the night just to speak to you. The Bible cannot change your life if it's shut. You've got to make a decision to open the word. Leave worship music. I talked about this last week, but leave worship music playing in your home 24/7. Let me tell you, if you break into our house during lockdown, the first thing you're going to meet is worship. The second thing you're going to meet is my Mexican ninja wife. They're both of them are not good things. I want to encourage you to keep worship music on in your bedroom. Keep worship music on in your kitchen. Just keep your home filled with the presence of God in this season. Leave His promises over your home. Declare the promises of God in lockdown. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing, Soul Church, will He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be strong, Mum. Be strong, Dad. Be strong, student. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with you. But those who hope, hope in the Lord, and He will renew your strength. You're going to mount up with wings like eagles this week. You're going to run and not grow weary. You're going to walk and not faint. You've got to cut your butt and you've got to chain the truth of the Word of God in your heart. Open it beside your bed. Put the worship on in your home. God is good. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Sit down, Quilly. Quilly, we're going to finish this up. I'm not quite finished yet. This Bible's getting heavy, but I like it because it's reminding me God is with me. You're feeling good. Are you feeling better? Are you feeling the lift? And the outcome of God's word being changed to my heart is this. It keeps my heart soft. Keeps my heart soft. Now just hear me over these next moments. There's been a lot of emphasis on clean hands over the past 12 months. And rightly so. Wash your hands, 30 seconds. Keep washing those hands. But there's something even more important than clean hands in this season. It's a soft heart. Soap might wash germs off your hands, but it's God's word that cleanses your heart. Don't come out of the other side of Corona with clean hands and a hard heart. Don't allow the enemy to cause offense. Don't come out of this season with a judgmental spirit about your neighbor. Don't come out of this season with fingers pointing at a church or a person or a leader. Allow God's word to soften your heart. You know, I had an incident this week where a lady was pretty mean to my son and I in a shop. Said some pretty unkind things. But you know what? My heart was so soft for this extra time in the Word, I just didn't even respond. And my natural reaction would be to go and put my opinion across on that situation. But there was something in that moment where God's Word had been applied to my life. What God's Word will do is it will keep your heart soft. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." COVID is challenging our minds, our emotions, just as much as our bodies. We're tired, aren't we? We're frustrated. We snap. We're fed up. God is saying right now, allow my word to do what only my word can do. You got to cut the butt. You got to change the truth. Number three, are you ready? We've got to change the narrative. Moses had to make a decision. The odds were stacked against him. He didn't have the ability of others. He had a stutter. He had a past. He went to Pharaoh and he declared these famous words in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. You remember it from the movie. He said this. He said, "Let my people go." Moses chose to change the narrative. I'm just going to take this off. This is really heavy. Moses had to change the narrative of the challenge in front of him. We have a challenge in front of us this week. By the way, you're going to get through this week. But we have to change the narrative for lockdown. Naturally, the narrative is very doom and gloom and dark right now. Or we change it and we perceive something different to what God is doing in this time. I want to share three things as we bring this to a close, three ways to shift the narrative of what's happening right now. Because if we just see this as doom and gloom and everything's against us, we are going to get ourselves in a dark space. I want you just to shift your narrative. Three areas. Number one is this: what's happening to me is good for me. What's happening to me is good for me. Anyone remember being forced to eat your greens at dinner growing up? Your mum and dad would say, they're good for you. We did it last night with our son. During moments of pain and darkness, something is growing in your life. Something is growing. And something is dying. Seeds grow in the dust, in the dark. Seeds grow in dirty places. And right now, there's things being birthed in you. Psalm 119, 71, David is speaking, and he said, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your ways. I don't know about you, but I'm learning. Anyone learning in this season? I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about Chantel. I'm learning about my kids. I'm learning about leadership. I'm learning about church. I'm learning not what to do, how to do it. I'm learning. It's good for me. I'm actually changing the narrative in this season, like Moses, to say, what's happening to me right now is good for me. Just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean to say it isn't good. The second thing is this: what's happening is revealing everything I couldn't see. COVID-19 is revealing everything I couldn't see. You know, I now have a fresh empathy for teachers. I used to drop the kids off and think, oh, teachers just doing their thing. No, teachers aren't just doing their thing. They are incredible. They are incredible. Trying to homeschool two kids is different than 26. Our teachers have been homeschooling our kids. But you say, well, they're trained, they're educated. No, they've given their lives to love our children. Come on, I think that deserves a round of applause. I now have empathy. Why? Because what's happening is revealing everything I couldn't see. I feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude for our National Health Service. Perfect no, give their best yes. Feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude. Before this, I probably had a bit of a sense of entitlement. Well, I pay my taxes. But no, what's happening is revealing everything I couldn't see. I now feel blessed to go to Asda. It's a big night out. It's just coming, you know, 2 hours. We do every aisle. Every aisle. Don't think our miracle, hear me here, our miracle is not in what's been lost in this season. Our miracle is what in what we've had left. What we have left. And we have so much left that maybe we couldn't see before. Stop looking at what you've lost over the past 12 months and start looking at what remains in your life. If you're alive today, you have a lot left. Come on, we still have a church. We still have a home. We still have food in the cupboard. We're still alive. Come on, stop looking at what's been lost and start focusing on what you have left. Quickly, whoa, settle down. Settle down. Man, these are impatient, these guys. God. Philly Lee, he's a good man. He's a teacher, one of the best. Wish you'd have been my teacher. We'd have had a lot of mischief. Come on, what's happening to me is good for me. What's happening is revealing about things I couldn't see. Number three and finally is this. What's happening to me is part of God's master plan. Oh, wow. I'm part of God's master plan. What about if what's happening to us in these dark moments is actually cultivating something in God's master plan for this church? Something is being birthed in the invisible. Something is being birthed in the realities of what we cannot see right now. I want to show you a clip from Billy Graham, which kind of sums up this season. Take a look.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
Come on. Come on. He'll be there. I love what he said right at the beginning of that clip. If God told us today what he was doing, we wouldn't believe it. God had told us at the start of last year that this would be the next 12 months. We wouldn't believe it. But guess what? We made it through. I'm believing. I'm going to prophesy over our church right now. I felt God gave me a word this week. I'm believing that when this lockdown lifts, when we're allowed back into church, I'm believing we're going to see 1,000 souls saved before we enter our new building. I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to believe for 1,000 souls, 1,000 light bulbs to be screwed in before we enter our new building. Now, I want you to stand with me all over this room, all over your living room, because there is a great revival of souls that we've never seen. We've just got to change the narrative. Anything is possible. We've got to make the decision. It's not in what's been lost. It's what we have left. The plan of God right now. I'm part of his master plan. You're part of his master plan. Come on, we're gonna believe it right now. If you're saying today, number one, I'm going to cut the butt. I'm going to trim the excuses out of my life because God, I want you to use me. And you cannot use me like Moses if I keep complaining and grumbling and using excuses. So I'm just going to cut the butt right now and I'm going to chain the truth. Today, I'm going to make a decision to open my Bible by my bed. I'm going to make a decision to get up in the morning and do something different. If you keep doing what you're already always doing, you're going to get the same results. It's when you start doing something different with your life and God will start to speak to you about your future. God will start to speak to you about your marriage. Number three, we're going to shift the narrative of what God is doing in this season. As David said, it is good for us to have been afflicted so we might learn your ways. Right now, if you're going to make a decision to cut, to change, and to chain the truth, I want you to lift your hand. Wherever you are, just lift your hand right now. This word's for you. This word's for you. This word's for you. Come on. Father, we come to you right now. We pray, Father God, that this word would sink into our hearts. Yes, it's been confronting, Lord, but I pray it would challenge our core, challenge our inner being. And I come against every excuse that we've made, even to tune into church, excuses, Father, to get off the couch, excuses, Father God, in our businesses, just to hold off until this is finished. But we will cut the butts, Father. We will keep moving forward, Father, and we will chain the truth of your word into our lives, Father. I pray that we would have a fresh love and a fresh hunger for your word, for your promises, Father, and we will change the narrative of this season. I thank you that God is for us, and because God is for us, who can be against us? I thank you in this season that anything is possible in people's homes, in their marriages. I thank you that anything is possible with our children. So, Father, we are desperate for you. We are desperate for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, one more time. Let's declare it out again. Do it again, Father. Amen. Amen.
Wow. One incredible word. cup, chain, change. Pastor John, let's just thank you for that incredible word, because that is a crafted word. That came out of a place where he has chained the word around his neck and listened to the narrative that God is asking him to help lead us through. And just like Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, Pastor John's going to lead Norwich out of the craziness and with all the other leaders in our city. I really wanted to ask you a question. Pastor John talked about change the narrative. I wonder what your narrative would be if I asked you this question: who is Jesus to you? Who is he to you? I wonder how you'd answer that. You might answer and say, I don't know who he is. You might answer and say, he's my Lord and Savior. I'm fully aware of who he is. Maybe today you're sitting in that category where you're like, I don't know who he is right now, but I want to get to know him. Well, if that is you, well, there's an opportunity to change the narrative of your life. I'd love to invite you to make a decision to follow Jesus today. It's a simple yet powerful prayer where you can invite Jesus to become the Lord and Savior in your life. And trust me when I tell you that it will radically change the story of your life. You see, making a decision to follow Jesus doesn't mean that life is going to get easier, but it does mean that when you go through the highs and lows of life, you're not doing it alone. And so, maybe you're sitting in your lounge, I don't know, maybe you're driving, maybe you're running, and I'm coming through your headphones. But if that's you and you want to make a decision today, I'd love you just to place your hand on your heart. And I'm going to say a really simple prayer. But if you agree with it, just say amen with me at the end. Father, I just thank you that you're so full of grace, that you're so full of mercy, that your desire is for us to have a relationship with you. God, I thank you that you made a way for us to have a relationship, for us not to only have a relationship, but for our sins to be wiped away through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. God, I pray right now for every single person that's making a decision to follow you, that I'd have a fresh peace, a fresh understanding that today they have become a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you said that prayer, please, please let us know. Right now on the screen, you can see a number. We'd love you to text it or send an email out. Or if you feel confident enough, please put a comment in the chat, because our team are there and they're waiting, because we don't want you to do this journey alone. That's what it's all about. It's about being a part of a community, about having a relationship with God and being part of his church. And we'd love to help you. We'd love to equip you. And I'm sure that you've got so many questions. But let me remind you of this, that the decision you just made is the greatest decision that you ever have made. We love you. We're cheering you on. And hey, can we just thank Pastor John one more time? Because that was an incredible word. And I absolutely love that.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.